Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Winning doesn't just happen.
It takes a plan.
A strategy. All based on expert analysis and trusted information.
That's what you get.
Right here.
The Winning Edge.
We're not just doing this because we're nice guys.
This is Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM.
Welcome in, everybody, to The Early Line, live right here on Sports Grid on a Thursday morning. I am Kevin Walsh, joined, of course, by Donnie Wrightside. Donnie, how are you?
Doing good. NBA took center stage late yesterday. A very profitable day also, but let's take a look tonight. Mm-hmm. The NFL returns with the Jets and Mike White going up against Carson Wentz and the Colts. We'll break it all down today. 2 hours to go here for us, Kevin, right here on The Early Line.
A lot to get to, no doubt. We open it up with our 7-7 top headlines. And boy, the NFL keeps going mad. Aaron Rodgers out this week against the Kansas City Chiefs. Test positive for COVID. We all thought he was vaccinated, just immunized, which doesn't count. So we don't know when Rodgers will be back, but we know he won't play against the Packers, Donnie. They're now 7.5-point dogs in Kansas City.
Minimum 10 days, which means he can return next Saturday. So there's a good possibility that he might actually miss 2 games for testing positive for COVID-19. But if you are the NFL, you can't be happy about this one, because what was your centerpiece game that you probably circled in the offseason? Hey, take a look at this battle between Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City. Probably 2 first-place teams, which isn't the case, but at least you would get 2 MVP quarterbacks. And again, Kevin, that now is not the case. Interesting times here. You'll get a look at Jordan Love to see how he can maneuver around in the NFL in a tough environment in Kansas City. But this is interesting. We're handicappers. We're going to dive into this one.
Mm-hmm. A lot of fallout, as Donnie said, from that news. We'll break it all down. Also, some really interesting notes around a couple of star wide receivers. Michael Thomas's season is over, and apparently Odell wants his to be over, or at least anything that has to do with the Cleveland Browns. Essentially, the report suggesting, Donnie, he's not even with the team anymore. What do you make of this OBJ news?
Yeah, brutal. You talked about Michael Thomas first, one of the highest paid players in football. Essentially, Kevin, missing 2 full years of action. That's devastating for the Saints, but flipping it over to Odell Beckham Jr. Look, this guy was a rising star in New York. There is a reason the New York Giants moved on from Odell Beckham, not because of talent. Goes to Cleveland, match made in heaven, going to light it up. There is a reason why it's not working out also in Cleveland. So maybe the third time is the charm. An ultra-talented player, but something of just a disconnect here. Maybe more of a me environment as opposed to a team setting for Odell. Looks like he's on the possibility, Kevin, of actually getting released here shortly.
We'll discuss what the best plan of action for the Cleveland Browns is, as the trade deadline has passed. So it's release, or Odell sits at home, or he plays. Again, we'll break that all down. Also, COVID continuing to really be a big part of the sports world. A lot of guys in the NBA. And the New York Giants had themselves quite the scare just yesterday, where they had 13 positive results. It turned out, though, Donnie, as they had to do their retesting, only one of those remained positive. Though anyone that tested positive that first go-around still needs a second negative COVID test in order to be playing in this upcoming game that they have against the Vegas Raiders.
Yep, this is the new NFL. You're going to have to deal with this week in and week out. And also, as we get into flu season here, which is October, November, December, January, you're going to get some of these. And also, there are some false positives that pop back, and it sends everybody into a panic. But it looks like it turned out okay here for the Giants. We'll see moving forward if there's any more scares that they have. But it's never good to start your week banged up, injured, awful loss, and have double-digit COVID positive tests here. So we'll see how the Giants rebound.
Their lone returning positive was their running back's coach. Saquon was on the initial list. Again, the returned test, though, said he was negative. The radio audience enters the fold. We appreciate all those listening to The Early Line on the new home of the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM, Channel 159, and all of our radio affiliates out there. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside with you on this Thursday morning. How about in the college basketball world, Donnie? Oklahoma State banned from 2021-2022 postseason action. I guess now that the number one overall pick isn't on campus, they can't play any postseason ball.
Yeah, this is a tough one here for the kids that are currently there. They didn't do anything wrong here. And if you're a college athlete, your dream is to go to the NCAA tournament in March Madness and see if you can win a championship. And now Oklahoma State is not allowed to do that. A coach went a little bit rogue here, got caught in one of those FBI investigation stings. Also, one player, it said, from Oklahoma State did receive $300. Seems like a pretty stiff penalty. We've seen a lot worse in NCAA. Hey, take a scholarship away. Ban them from, you know, the first 3 weeks of having a national TV game. But don't take the kids' dreams away. They had nothing to do with this, and they're going to pay a price for this, Kevin.
Spot on by you there, DRS. How about Major League Baseball making the cut? Usually baseball finishes, and it finishes for a while. Buster Posey, a future Hall of Famer in my eyes, no doubt, Donnie, will be announcing his retirement soon.
Leaving a lot of money on the table. One of the best catchers of the past 20 years. Certainly Hall of Fame worthy. I do think he is going to make it into the Hall of Fame. But leaving a lot of money, as I said, on the table. And that's a good Giants team. That team won more games than anybody in baseball. You see, you're retiring saying, hey, man, we don't have a chance next year. I'm just going to hang him up and enjoy the family life at home. Not the case here. Good on Buster Posey. When he's at his edge and he's ready to go, he shut it off here. Good for him.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see when the Hall of Fame stuff comes around, because baseball Hall of Fame stuff is never simple, but both Donnie and I agree he should be getting in. Two important headlines from last night's NBA action. The Boston Celtics get a win after a players-only meeting against the Orlando Magic. Perhaps they discussed in the meeting how to get the Orlando Magic on their schedule, because they still played awful, awful basketball. And the Indiana Pacers welcomed Malcolm Brogdon back to the fold along with Caris LeVert. They got a big-time win over the New York Knicks. Those are your top headlines. Up next, we break it all down. Aaron Rodgers not playing against the Chiefs.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back here on the Sports Grid Network. And what an announcement yesterday, where we found out that the Green Bay Packers would not have Aaron Rodgers under center this week. I wonder if we have to stop saying under center, even though everyone plays out of the shotgun. That's not the point. No Aaron Rodgers for Green Bay. They are 7.5-point dogs in Kansas City. There are countless angles to break this thing down. But what was your initial reaction to this news?
Yeah, initial reaction is try to run to the window and take Kansas City, because you know that line, no matter what happens or where it opens, will be much higher than what we were looking at in that 2.5 to 1.5 price range. And now we see at the FanDuel Sportsbook here, a -7.5, which is correct. Sounds about right here. But also tumbling here, Kevin, a 53.5 at the FanDuel Sportsbook is now sitting at 48 as a total for the game. Your initial reaction is, oh, Green Bay's done. They can't win. And I'm not going to look at this game anymore. And I missed the best line on Kansas City. But then the, you know, counterintuitive stuff you look at, and all of a sudden trying to be a contrarian here, Kevin, you say, ooh, let me try to take a look here at the Packers. Because, again, we're not dealing with the, let's just say it was the Rams, right? The Kansas City Chiefs were the Rams, meaning a legitimate defense, an all-pro quarterback. They're ready to be a buzzsaw here, but we've and playing well. But we've seen the Kansas City Chiefs, and we're saying, man, something doesn't look right here. So is this the game now that Kansas City puts it all together because Aaron Rodgers isn't there? Or do you take the opposite approach here and say, now that this has moved to over a touchdown favorite, can you look at the Green Bay Packers with Jordan Love coming in this game and operating an offense to stay close? I'm more likely to outsmart myself and think that way, but we still got some time here in the week to try to differentiate what might happen. But getting over 7.5 points, or maybe it closes at 8 or 9, we'll see where it is by game time. But I'm no way, shape, or form now am I running to the window, Kevin, to take the Kansas City Chiefs.
It's interesting, and I see why, right? I think, you know, we'll have our pick six tomorrow. Could the Chiefs be fascinating in a teaser spot, basically? And Donnie's right, by the way. Any gambler out there, when that news hits the phone, the first thing you do is try to run to the window on the Kansas City Chiefs, that pick'em price that existed at the time of the announcement. The question is Aaron Rodgers a touchdown better than Jordan Love? Probably. Maybe more. He's played precisely zero NFL games as a starter. The last real action Jordan Love had was what? In the Tropical Smoothie Cafe Frisco Bowl against Kent State in 2019? They lost by 10. I'm not sure what we're going to get from Jordan Love here. And this isn't just Jordan Love's first game as a starter. It's Green Bay's first game without Aaron Rodgers in quite a while. Rodgers has played all 16 since 2018. We haven't seen Matt LaFleur ever have to coach a game without Aaron Rodgers. He's perennially a top five MVP candidate. In fact, won the award last year. So while I understand the point, Donnie, in that, well, you missed out on some tremendous Chiefs numbers. Well, those Chiefs numbers existed in a completely different world where Aaron Rodgers was the starting quarterback. You have to make a pick now based on Jordan Love being a starting quarterback here. And to your point, though, I wouldn't be surprised by either result here. Aside from Green Bay winning outright, which would be maddening to
me. One of the loudest stadiums that you're going to see in the NFL. But I have to tell you, you're going to put a lot of merit in Matt LaFleur being a good coach, putting the kid in right situations, and also keep in mind, Kansas City doesn't know what the offensive game plan is going to be with Jordan Love at quarterback. So it throws a little bit of a wrench into there as well. But the main thing I'm trying to say here is don't outsmart yourself. Do you see how me and Kevin are going back and forth like, hey, maybe he can play good, maybe he won't. Kansas City could press the gas pedal, maybe not. That's word to the wise that maybe both myself and Kevin should be staying away from betting this game. But boy, it is fun to talk about.
Like a Chiefs team total is essentially the only unchanging number. Although not really, in fact, right? Because although the Thursday night game between the Packers and the Cardinals still should have found a way to get over the number, it did not. What did Green Bay do, right? Shorthanded. All right, we'll just run the ball. We'll take every single play clock down to 1 second left like we're Army or Navy, and we'll just wait our time out here. Good luck to the oddsmen in the room that need to set the lines on not just Aaron Jones' rush yards, but apparently RB1 A.J. Dillon. I mean, you're looking at a couple of guys that are going to be in the 60s, 70s potentially for props. Those are some target player props for you. I will say, though, Donnie, I also think there are some angles here on awards. And we'll start with Rodgers to win MVP, which is now bumped back to plus 950. Their narrative feels all so simple. If he only misses the one game, and you were right to bring up the fact that there's a world he could miss two, but if he misses one game, and in that one game, Donnie, they are hopeless and can't move the football against what is maybe the worst defense in the NFL. And then he comes back like the White Knight the next week against Seattle and throws for a prompt 7,000 yards on that awful defense. Doesn't it feel like Rodgers would give up a little bit to get a lot back if they don't look good without him?
It's hard to try to predict because I like the theory that you're presenting here, because an MVP is supposed to be the best player in football to his team, which means when he's not playing, his team is markedly worse, which most teams are. But you can say that about a lot of teams. Like Josh Allen goes down in Buffalo. All right, Mitchell Trubisky had a pretty good preseason, but it's probably not going to move or operate the offense like Josh Allen does. Tom Brady goes down in Tampa Bay. Same thing. Kyler Murray goes down in Arizona. Matthew Stafford for the Rams. Dak Prescott for the Cowboys. Now, you want to say like, hey, they don't even need Dak Prescott. You saw they just won on the road against Minnesota with Rush, a quarterback. I get that. So you might have maybe a downgrade here, because what happens if Jordan Love comes out in this game and they lose, I don't know, 31-27. He throws for 305 yards, two touchdowns, and one interception. Ah, looks like it's all Matt LaFleur. You don't need Aaron Rodgers. And, hey, can we sell him off in the offseason because now we have Jordan Love as our quarterback? I like the theory you're presenting, but so many good quarterbacks and good players in this league that at the end of the season, Kevin, most will remember Aaron Rodgers didn't miss a game, but you know what they're going to remember? Why is Aaron Rodgers 280 yards short of Tom Brady in pass yards and two touchdowns short? Ah, Tom Brady's going to get it. Why? Because Aaron Rodgers missed a football game, and those statistics, and particularly, Kevin, also against Kansas City. It's not against the Chicago Bears in December with rainy, windy, snowy conditions. He would have put up monster numbers here against Kansas City, and he's going to miss out on that.
The other aspect that does need to be broached on this topic, though, is the why he's missing this game. At the end of the day, if anyone catches COVID, right, there is a lot of sympathy around that, as there should be. though Aaron Rodgers, in way only Aaron Rodgers can do, found a way to remove all of that from the table. Because Aaron Rodgers was asked, hey, are you vaccinated? He said, I'm immunized. And next thing you know, Aaron Rodgers, not vaccinated. And there are some people, Donnie, who believe that that very well could put him in a poor light. Understandably so. It is worth asking that even if Rodgers perhaps merits some MVP votes, could he be viewed in a negative light that would stop him from getting those MVP votes?
It could. There might be a backlash. And also keep in mind, like, the immunization that he was using to circumvent if I was vaccinated or not. And also keep in mind, every press conference, Aaron Rodgers never had a mask on. Lamar Jackson is unvaccinated. He wears a mask every time he talks. We'll see if the NFL has to say about that too, Kevin.
A suspension, perhaps?
Oh,
it could be possible. We'll see how things pan out. It seems like there will be a lot more fallout in the situation. More NFL talk after this quick break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back here on the early line, a lot of news and notes from the NFL yesterday as we're approaching Thursday night football. I want to bring up one more. We'll hit all of them throughout our show today, but I wanted to bring up the Michael Thomas news quickly, Donnie, because this is a piece of news that's really difficult, I think, to break down because, as you mentioned, it's basically been 2 years since we've seen Michael Thomas, and those 2 years ago, well, he broke the single-season reception record. But again, that was many moons ago. That was with Drew Brees at quarterback. But this was a Saints team. Drew Brees and Jameis Winston are gone. They really could have used a guy like Michael Thomas coming back. You add in then tension between the player and the organization over how everything was handled during this offseason. And it feels fair to say that Michael Thomas probably never plays in a Saints uniform again. And that is not a good thing for a 5-2 Saints team that has big ideas of making the playoffs and possibly beyond.
Yeah, what are the Saints missing here, Kevin? They're missing wide receivers that can make big-time plays in big games. That's what Michael Thomas does. And you get back to the crux of the argument here with Michael Thomas. It's never been about production. He has been absolutely astoundingly amazing, if I can use that term. Wide open every play. You know it's going to him. Double coverage. Drew Brees always found a way to get him the football. Unbelievable hands. And you're like 100-plus catches, pencil in every – oh, he only had 105 catches. Boy, that's a bad year for Michael Thomas. So now you give the Saints, give him a monster deal, Kevin. And you know, if you look at NFL contracts, you get the most money over the first few years of that contract, and then the player tries to renegotiate or whatever happens after that. So he's getting paid monster money for last year, essentially one game. This year, no games. And the worst-case scenario here is, like, sometimes you have some bad luck. You show up to training camp, you tear your Achilles. Oh, man, it's terrible. You go through all your rehab and training, you come back to training camp the next year, and your knee goes out. Oh, that's just some bad luck. Boy, what a good football player, just didn't get the breaks. But this one was interesting to watch, Kevin, on the offseason, because they were a little bit at odds during the season. Shut him down, don't shut him down, tried to play through it okay. But usually when football season ends, you go through your final medicals before you leave and your exit interviews. And the doctor or the team staff say, hey, look, it's in your best interest. Take a week off. We're going to fly you out to, you know, Philadelphia. We're going to get that ankle operated on. You'll be down for 4 or 5 months. You'll be good to go by training camp. And it seems like that's where the disconnect came in, because Michael Thomas probably said, well, I think rest might be a little bit better than surgery. The Saints said, oh, we don't agree with that. They didn't communicate much in the offseason, and just shows up at camp, and all of a sudden, a day or two in, oh, by the way, we got to shut this guy down for more ankle surgery. And you saw the press conferences from both sides sort of blaming each other. You know, the Saints upset. They can't really say, oh, we tried to force him to get surgery. He didn't want it. But you could tell that's where it was going. And the fact that now you lost 2 full years of maybe your best player on the team outside of Alvin Kamara, and you're right, Kevin. They're 5-2 making a playoff push. The whole season here was hold on till Michael Thomas gets back and let's see what happens. Now, Michael Thomas isn't coming back, Kevin.
Over the last season and a half, right, the 2020 season and now into the 2021 season, their leading receiver is Alvin Kamara in terms of receptions with 110 over 22 games. Michael Thomas in 2019 had 149 catches in that 16-game season. Don't even try and figure out how close the next wide receiver is to him. It's probably Emmanuel Sanders, basically, like, who's in Buffalo now. Like this, and this is the thing, Donnie. We're probably talking about the worst wide receiver core in the NFL.
Yeah.
Marquez Callaway, Traquan Smith, Kenny Stills, Ty Montgomery. Like, this is a wide receiver core that leaned on great quarterback play in Drew Brees, a wonderful play caller in Sean Payton, an elite running back as a pass catcher in Alvin Kamara, and maybe the game's best wide receiver in Michael Thomas to have what felt like a 98% target share. And now, Brees is gone. As we said, Jameis injured. We're on Trevor Siemian or Taysom Hill, goodness me, and no Michael Thomas. And this team wants to make a legitimate postseason push. Tough, tough sledding, very likely, for this Saints team. I still wonder if they'll call old man Rivers and see if he wants to play some postseason football. Speaking of old man Rivers, last team is the Indianapolis Colts. They're going to get after it here on Thursday Night Football. A preliminary look at this game. We'll, of course, be breaking it down as well in hour number two. We have the Colts as 10.5-point favorites. The total is 45.5. And you got to think, Donnie, the Bengals have been calling Indy, hey, listen, being a double-digit favorite against Mike White isn't as easy as you would think. What do you make of these Thursday Night Football lines?
This is a really interesting game overall, not because it's like, oh man, Jets are playing and the Colts aren't looking that good. So you had higher aspirations for this game, maybe from a Colts perspective, but the Jets we knew wouldn't be a great football team entering into 2021, but you would get to see Zach Wilson to see how he progresses. Not the case here. This is also an interesting one where you see the point spread, you know, hovering around that double digit level, 10 to 10 and a half, depending where you're, you know, getting that line at throughout the day. It'll probably still close, Kevin, over double digits here once we get to game time. But this is the ultimate, oh boy, here we go. Because if you just watch the Cincinnati game, Cincinnati's a good football team. Cincinnati's playing really good defense. This Jets team, seeming with no real running back, ran for 97 yards on the ground. This Jets team with a quarterback positioning, like, oh man, they'd be lucky to throw for 130 yards. Yeah, they threw for 414 in the last game. So now you're trying to equate it to a quick work week here. Is Mike White everything we think he is? Or is Mike White just had one of those games where, hey, it's an anomaly. He played really well. But then you see him play the Colts on the road. Yeah, this is what we thought. 16 of 32, 162 yards, one touchdown, two interceptions. And I think, Kevin, nobody would be mad at that if we saw that's about what Mike White's supposed to do in the NFL. But the problem is what we saw was greatness last week against a good football team, fighting back, leaving the game injured, coming back, leading his team from behind to a victory over the Cincinnati Bengals. Can he do it again? Are we going to get caught up in the hype? But Kevin, there's a reason why this line is a double-digit favorite, and it's not a pick'em at this point. The Colts are way better than the New York Jets. They are at home. The Jets are traveling on a short week here. At least you have some video film on Mike White to go off of. And if you're looking from a Carson Wentz perspective, yeah, he hasn't played incredible football, makes dumb decisions. But keep in mind, it's the Jets' defense. They're not very good. The Colts should do whatever they want on offense. And I don't think we're going to get the same type of, you know, effort, should I say, out of Mike White throwing for 400 yards in this game. If he does, my goodness, that Jets front office might have made the biggest mistake you could make in taking Zach Wilson number two overall when you had Mike White all along. But at the same time, the Colts are better. They should handle business tonight. We'll break it down further later.
I will say Zach Wilson has been done a little hard by all of this. Like, it was like, look at this. Mike White beat the Bengals. Like, Zach Wilson does have the win over the Tennessee Titans on the resume. Look, all in all, Neither teams looked amazing. Like, Mike White still played against New England. He was a part of the nightmare that was that football game. Speaking of New England, they put 54 on this team, folks. If you look at the Jets this year, they have yet to cover on the road. And if, just add the London game. It was neutral site. They've yet to cover away from their home field this season. They've allowed 112 points over the last three games, good for an average of about, what, 38 points? I mean, they are giving up a zillion points per game. This team is terrible. And if you look at the Indianapolis Colts, Donnie, we have a sample size of them laying a comparable number, which is 11.5 to the Houston Texans. And they won that game going away, 31-3. I look at this game here, and I have to think that the Colts are probably the right side. As you said, it's double digits for a reason. The only issue, I guess, with the Indianapolis Colts is they do somewhat seem to struggle to close the door. We've talked about it. A fourth quarter lead over the Titans and a loss over the Ravens and a loss over the Rams and a loss. But again, this is not the Ravens or the Titans or the Rams. This is the New York Jets. I think the question for me, Donnie, isn't who are you backing? It's the Colts. It's a matter of, is it full game? Is it first half? Is it a team total? That, to me, is the question you have to find the answer. The Colts feel like the team you want to place your money on here Thursday.
No, it does. And I think you're correct in that, because the one thing we saw out of Mike White, you know, he can be a good quarterback. From what we've only seen one game, basically, out of Mike White in his NFL career. But if you're saying, you know, the old adage where we used to use the Houston Texans, maybe we can't use it anymore. They were down 38-0, then dropped 22 on the board against the Rams. Like, and we thought that Davis Mills, no matter what the situation or what the defense was giving you, couldn't take advantage of it. So, again, if it's a double-digit game in the fourth quarter, let's just say the Jets are down 14, 5 minutes to go, Mike White looks like he probably is able to move this football team down the field and score points here to try to get inside that number. Now, it's always not the best, you know, betting ingredient to say, well, I don't think the Jets can win, but I do think they can keep it close. It's a little bit easier to do that when it's a 10-point line as opposed to a 3.5-point line. But I would have to say, if the Indianapolis Colts are going to win and cover in this game, Kevin, you would have to be under the assumption that it's not going to be 13-13 at the break. It's going to be more likely 20-10 at the break. 20-7 at the break, which means the Colts would have got the cover in the first half. I think the way you're approaching this game, or possibly approaching this game, sounds about right here.
When you look at the passing prompts, Mike White has a higher passing yard total than Carson. Now, part of that is you're a double-digit favorite. You're supposed to throw the ball all over the field. I'm sure part of that is Mike White coming off again a game where he threw more passing yards than every quarterback in the NFL in Week 8. Also, Wentz apparently has figured out the best way to pick up yards is just to throw Hail Mary balls and let DBs tackle his wide receivers, which keeps working masterfully here. But that is just one of my absolute favorite things that I've seen all year long, is Mike White with a bigger asking price on a yardage prop than the Colts' hopeful franchise quarterback, Carson Wentz. We'll talk a little bit more about Mike White's passing total. We'll also break this game down more in hour number 2. But up next is Hot or Not. Keep it here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hot or Not time here on the Early Line, and here on a Thursday, we like to look at who might have a big week and maybe who might struggle quite a bit here. It's really interesting, actually, when you pair up the weekly specials market for highest scoring team and lowest scoring team, because there is one game that reigns supreme at the top of both of these boards. We open it up with the highest scoring team. Donnie, Hot or Not, you're basically at this point Buffalo Bills will be the highest scoring team in Week 9.
Now, here's what you guys have to know about the show, right? So, you know, Kev sets up the script the night before here. I usually go over it the next morning. I look at this and I say, man, Buffalo, this had to be. Did you toss and turn all night long figuring that the Buffalo Bills are supposed to be the highest scoring team of this week? Did you struggle with that? Because I'm pretty surprised that this one should have came up. Will the Baltimore Ravens be the highest scoring team of the week? Even our good friend here, Kevin Walsh, is finally coming around to the right side here and looking at the Buffalo Bills. No doubt about it. Absolutely red hot. The Buffalo Bills will be the highest scoring team of the week. Number one, the Buffalo Bills are the best team in the AFC. Told you that since day one. Number two, Josh Allen is the best player in football and will be the MVP. And number three, just got his jersey yesterday. This is the perfect segue into it here to say the Buffalo Bills will score the most points. Why? not because the Buffalo Bills are very good. It's because the Jacksonville Jaguars defense and team is very, very bad. So what are we looking at, Kevin? Team total approaching in that 31, 32 range here. No reason to believe for me that the Buffalo Bills can't get to 35 points, and that puts you in the running. And the thing I love about these weekly specials here, Kevin, on the FanDuel Sportsbook, they're lottery tickets. If they would have posted, like, hey, highest scoring team of the week, Buffalo Bills, plus 220, hey, it's a pretty good price, right? Think they can do it. No, you're getting a 650 price here. Now, there are some other good teams here on the list. The Rams, we think they can run it up against the Tennessee Titans. We just need to send it to the Tennessee Titans to be a pretty good running mate in that game, which I think they will be without Derrick Henry. The Dallas Cowboys, always in the mix here. But if I'm just looking from a perspective of a team that gets to have, I don't know, 11 or 12 offensive possessions, at least five of those should turn into touchdowns for me, Kevin, going up against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Hot for me, Buffalo Bills, highest scoring team of the week. What are your thoughts on that one?
You ever hope that you can catch someone in a trap and it just goes the exact opposite way? You ever hope you could ask Donnie if the Buffalo Bills will be the highest scoring team and know that every single week that we've done this, Donnie has not once ever named the favorite, and this week he goes Buffalo. I mean, you hate when
kayfabe
a plan falls apart.
Stay in the kayfabe.
But I got to tell you, folks, he's spot on. I mean, if you look at Buffalo, right? 35 against Miami, 43 Washington, 40 Houston, 38 the Chiefs, 31 Tennessee. Like last week, they put up 26 against Miami and basically didn't even play football in the first half. Like if they come out here focused against the Jags, they're going to probably put up a 40 spot. The floor feels like it's 30 for this team. And when you can get a floor that high, it is absolutely tremendous. I did want to bring up one other team, though, Donnie. And I wanted your thoughts on the Kansas City Chiefs number at 10-1. And very clearly, I cannot quit this team. Maybe I never will quit this team. I bring it up for this reason, though. Because we saw, I believed at least, after the game against the Giants, a legitimate market shift in the Kansas City Chiefs. At home, a pick'em price against the Green Bay Packers. Their odds to make the postseason went shorter as opposed to longer off of a win. 10-1 for the Patrick Mahomes-led Kansas City Chiefs to being the highest scoring team. I bring it up from the sense of value. As you say, you talk about lottery tickets. I feel like seeing the Chiefs at a 10-1 price is noteworthy because, again, I do feel like we're starting to see the way they are booked shift a little bit.
Yep, you're right. Buying low is what you're trying to do here. Like, and you think of the Kansas City Chiefs, we're all waiting for them to break out. And the breakout doesn't mean they're going to score 49 points this weekend, but just look fluid on offense, Kevin, right? The plays they used to make in the past, you know, the electric plays, 3rd and 1, slant pass over the middle, Tyreek Hill's gone. Travis Kelce on 3rd and 11 in the red zone, double the tight end, and he's wide open every single play. I like where you're going, but the only reason where I look at this price, it's 10-1, so a one-unit wager would return back $1,000 in profit, which would be awesome, is the fact that I would like it even more, Kevin, if Aaron Rodgers was playing for the Green Bay Packers, because you would know the mindset of the Kansas City Chiefs from Monday all the way through the game. Look, Aaron Rodgers is coming here. He's going to hang high 20s on us. We better respond with a big-time effort. Or is this one of those games where after the first quarter, you realize Jordan Love might not be as effective as you thought, and you say, let's throttle this thing down. We can still win this football game just like you did against the New York Giants. But if you had Aaron Rodgers to push that tempo here, I think you might be right on that one. But it's still the Kansas City Chiefs. If they all of a sudden turn the gas on and it works, they're in the 30s every single game. So it's a good look. Again, you're not looking at the favorite here in the Chiefs, right? Plus 500 to be the highest scoring team of the week, which is typically what you would see. You're getting a 10-1 price, so it makes sense, Kevin. It does.
Speaking of 10-1 prices here, that is where the next team we'll bring up is. I just also wanted to quickly note, though, on the Jacksonville Jaguars. I don't remember Donnie seeing the favorite for highest scoring team and lowest scoring team being in the same game. It shows like how dominant they feel the Buffalo Bills will be over the Jags, both plus 650 in their respective markets. The second team, though, is the Carolina Panthers at a 10-1 price. And Donnie, we've talked about this, whether it was going to be Sam Darnold, could it potentially be a PJ Walker? I feel like this number will grow significantly shorter if it somehow ended up being a PJ Walker here. But Sam Darnold and Bill Belichick certainly have a bit of a history as it pertains to the way one is performed against the other. Thoughts on the Carolina Panthers being the lowest scoring team in week number 9?
Yeah, that's a really good look. And again, you're getting some good prices here based on those 10 to 1s. And that's why we talk about these. We don't just bring these weekly specials up to hype them up. They actually make sense, and they're legitimate here. And sometimes, Kevin, as we look at, you know, who the highest scoring team of the week could be, oh, it looks like it could be four, five, six teams here. But usually the lowest scoring team of the week doesn't venture all that much outside of the first five to six, you know, odds shots here, like the Jacksonville Jaguars 650, the Carolina Panthers at 10 to 1. I do think the Carolina Panthers have a legitimate chance to go low on that number because New England has a good defense. PJ Walker might be the quarterback, probably won't see, you know, Christian McCaffrey at running back, which usually leads to disaster. But you know where I'm going here? The team I just saw on Monday Night Football, the team that played the Kansas City Chiefs and didn't do much on offense, the team that is even more banged up and COVID related injuries here heading into this week. Now, most people would look at the Vegas Raiders coming to town to play the New York Giants. The Giants currently sit here, lowest scoring team of the week, 15 to 1 price. Not either home. They can move the football. They might get in the 20. Yeah, they might do that. But this is why we're going down a little bit lower than taking a team at 10 to 1 or less. 15 to 1 is a decent price here because if we're looking at Daniel Jones, a very average quarterback, Saquon Barkley, probably not going to play again this week. We'll see if Kenny Golladay gets there. But also keep in mind Sterling Shepard. It was just coming back from injury, injured again. It might be out for multiple weeks with a quad injury. So if we're looking at not many weapons here, and oh yeah, the Vegas Raiders Pro Football Focus, a top 10 NFL defense. So I'm going to take a longer shot here. Give me the New York Giants to be the lowest scoring team of the week at 15 to 1. Who are you thinking here in this spot?
I love the long shots, and there are a couple of long shots that I want to emphasize. But I also want to emphasize the Jacksonville Jaguars. Folks, I have never seen a team lay two touchdowns in the NFL, and I go, that feels incredibly light. And that is how I feel about the Buffalo Bills against the Jaguars, and that is why the Buffalo Bills feel like the answer to the highest scoring team, and it's why the Jaguars feel like the answer to the lowest scoring team. Donnie, off of a bye, an extra week to prepare for a Seattle Seahawks defense that has been bleeding yards, this team put up 7 points. Oh, and by the way, those came with under 2 minutes left in the game. They were shut out until the 2-minute warning in the fourth quarter off of a bye against the Seahawks. You know the Buffalo Bills would love to shut this team out. They might shut this team out at a plus 650 price. Again, I can't believe that the Bills are two touchdown favorites. And I'm like, why is it not 17 and a half? It legitimately feels light. Let me throw, though, Donnie, another longer shot out to you. Because there's another team in here at 17 to 1. And no, it's not the Eagles going against Brandon Staley. They'll probably put up a million points against him. Oh. No, it is the one, the only Mr. Primetime himself, Kirk Cousins. But he's not in primetime, Donnie. But he is playing a Baltimore defense that was absolutely embarrassed by the Cincinnati Bengals. What are your thoughts at Kirk Cousins and a Vikings team that couldn't do quite literally anything seemingly against a bad Dallas defense at a 17-1 price against Baltimore?
Yeah, Jekyll and Hyde. Like, maybe they play a little bit better on the road, but you're right. This isn't the same Baltimore Ravens defense, Kevin, that we've seen over the past couple of years. Looks like, you know, a little bit, some injuries to the secondary, not as elite on the pass rushing end, because what we used to see from the Ravens is they would always, Kevin, win the battle of the line of scrimmage with their defensive line versus your offensive line. So it's one of those games where if you do have running mates, which you should, and the total for the game hovering right around that 49.5 to 50 range, there's a lot of weapons here. If Lamar Jackson has a very good game, Kirk Cousins is going to have to open up out of his shell. But it seems like the Vikings, a lot of times, Kevin, look at their scores over the past couple of years. If you are willing to play a lower scoring game with Minnesota, they'll engage you in that lower scoring game. But there are tendencies out here when you need a shootout. Kirk Cousins can throw for 325, three touchdowns, elite wide receivers. Hand it off to Dalvin Cook on your own 25, and he goes 70 yards. Throw a well-timed screen pass at around midfield to Dalvin Cook, and he takes it to the house. That's a pretty good look here, because if you're looking at points, Minnesota has the horses to put up those points. And if you are engaged in offense between both of those two teams, they can both get into the 30s or the high 20s here if you have a perfect game. I like it.
I also wanted to bring up the weekly specials market, a market that both Donnie and I adore, and a market that is still going to be added on to, certainly as the week grows closer. Donnie last week had a nice three different teams to score three total touchdowns cash, thanks to his favorite player in the world, Josh Allen, helping him out and on a rushing touchdown
yes,
there against the Dolphins. But there is one weekly special that involves tonight's game that is absolutely worth bringing up. Last week, there's a lot of conversations online around a bettor out there who bet Mike White to lead the Week 8 passing board. And he actually did, which is outrageous. Threw for 405 yards. So, Donnie, what do you think here, hot or not? Mike White to throw for 400-plus passing yards, paying out at 17-1.
I love the fact that this one does appear on the weekly specials because it's supposed to be there, right? He just threw for 400. You saw the ticket floating around 125-1 on a $1,000 bet, which returned a $125,000 profit. Now, I will be passing on this one, but a 17-1 price is so much fun to watch if he can duplicate it. The only guy that actually should be betting this is the guy that went to Atlantic City and placed a wager down on that $1,000 prop to hit it. I think out of respect, you know, you have those principal plays, Kevin, we always talk about it in Play Sports Tonight. I think for him, it is a principal play to once again throw some homage here to Mike White and say, give me the 400 yards at the 17-1. Let's see if he can do it again. But outside of that, it is a fun prop to talk about. But 400 yards back-to-back weeks? What, is he going to Canton already, Kevin?
I mean, he might just, though. I got to tell you, Donna, if that's the number on Mike White, right, for 400 passing yards, what's the number on Carson Wentz for 400 passing yards? I mean, 20-1? Evidently,
Justin
his
Fields?
Numbers are lower.
3,000-1.
Justin Fields might need about four games to get to 400 pass. Last week, poor Justin Fields, man, it is the best he is playing in the NFL, and it's not close. And he still didn't knock on the door of those 200 passing yards, man. I can't even, like, take Fields seriously anymore because of Donnie. And he was great on the ground, too. He ran for about 100. A tremendous, like, college-level play there. But, I mean, Allen Robinson, 90 yards a game. We'll get that season-long player prop over.
CLV.
Soon enough. CLV. We'll break down Thursday night college action next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
One more segment to go before we hit hour number two of the early line. And there is tonight, Thursday night football in college, of course. Louisiana, Georgia State, Donnie. A 12.5-point favorite for Louisiana Lafayette. A total of 53.5. I'm hoping we maybe can get an odds boost for this game. It's always a nice way to get involved with some college football. But what do you make of this matchup on its face?
Look, the last two games, Lafayette's been at home. Lafayette's a better football team. I think we could both agree there. Versus App State, 41-13, a complete tail kicking there. So then we fast forward. Texas State, the last time they played at home, Kevin, 45-0. Another big-time victory. So can I look anywhere else in this game but the hometown Raging Cajuns here, Kevin? I think not, and I would love an odds boost for this game to try to spice it up a little bit. Do we want to lay 12.5? Not necessarily, but it looks like if you are the home team here and the home team playing well with the Cajuns, the only way I can look here, Kevin, it's the only way for me.
Ultimately, a lot of the college boosts that we've seen recently have been a team to win both the first half and the full game, a money line boost. If that is offered for tonight's game, that would be quite nice. When you talk about a double-digit favorite at home, it's a great point there by Donnie. You look at this Raging Cajuns team, they are unbeaten at home, 4-0. As a favorite, they are 6-0 on the season. This is a Georgia State team that is yet to pull an upset. So again, that would be a great way to get involved with this game. As far as against the numbers go, Donnie is right in talking about Louisiana at home, 3-1 against the spread. Though Georgia State, a 3-1, impressively enough, on the road this year. But the total does intrigue me because I love weekday college football. And I also like to bet overs. Last night, I bet a Golden State Warriors team total under. The bet won. I had no fun. One of the least amount of fun I've ever had in a winning wager. It was a nightmare to watch Steph and Jordan Poole and Damian Lee torture me. But with that being said, Louisiana, 7-1 to the under. this season. Over backers, beware. Hour number two of the Early Line is next.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better. With new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect, the fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.